Hello, I'm Paul Winter, Head of Quantitative Research at UBS. In this episode, we're sharing a conversation recorded at our Quant Conference in New York with Professor Elena Indurain, an expert in quantum computing and artificial intelligence. Quantum computing is a new approach to computation that uses the principles of quantum physics to tackle certain problems in ways that conventional computers cannot. One of the key concepts discussed in this conversation is quantum advantage, the point at which quantum computers can solve useful, real-world problems more effectively than today's technologies. We explore where quantum computing stands today, how it's converging with AI, and what that could mean for businesses, innovation, and the future workforce over the coming decade. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Elena, from your perspective, how far away are we from quantum computing becoming a reality?
So I think that how far are we from quantum computing, it depends on what do you mean by quantum computing being available. So as of today, we have more than 50 quantum computing companies. So aside from the big companies that we all know, like Google, IBM, Microsoft, AWS, we have a lot of startups, and all of them are already selling their quantum computers. So companies are buying quantum computers. They're using quantum computers. Now, the question is, what are they using the quantum computer for? So they're mainly being used for tests, a lot of proof of concepts. So in that sense, they are purchasing usage of quantum computing through the cloud, like they would do with any other hardware. But the applicability, it's not really business right now. It's more for testing. So in terms of when will it be applicable from a business point of view, in the sense that we would have a quantum advantage. So by quantum advantage, I mean, when are we going to have applications with a quantum computer, quantum computing algorithms that work better than our current algorithms? And that, well, if the providers fulfill their promise, so the deadline they're working on, they're promising that by the end of a decade, we will have a fully running quantum computer that would be able to solve business problems. So as of today, we have quantum computers that are being used, they're being deployed, and we will have that quantum advantage, if all things considered, by the end of the decade. And then from that point, we'll have some problems that are already having the quantum advantage, and then we'll start having gradually other type of problems until most likely 10 years from now, we will have it hopefully mainstream.
Wow, that's incredible. So where do you see the most practical near-term intersection between quantum computing and AI?
So ever since ChatGPT, so the whole transformer models came along, that's when we started to see an intersection between quantum and AI. So there's an intersection that goes both ways. So AI is helping quantum. So quantum computing is not a reality as of today from a business point of view, because it still has a lot of errors. So at the heart of a quantum computer, we have a quantum bit. That quantum bit has a set of physical quantum mechanics, quantum physics properties that makes it really powerful. But those quantum mechanics properties are very fragile. So this means that they create errors. And as a result, you don't have a very useful quantum computer. But AI can actually help, and it's helping as of today, to improve how you design those qubits. So you make, how you tackle the errors, and how that engineering problem that we have today, that wall, will be surpassed. So for example, Google recently announced a new way to design a chip using what they call their the alpha qubit. So they have the whole sequence of alpha fold, alpha qubit, and alpha mind, and this is what's helping them to create a chip that's error corrected, and they have shown that they can do it 30% better. So that's how AI can help quantum. And then quantum can enhance AI. So the other side of the relation, it's because you have quantum can can process data differently than a regular computer. So it can do a multi-dimension processing and it can do a parallel processing. This is very useful if you think about AI algorithms. So you can train a model using a quantum algorithm, so quantum machine learning, training the model, and it makes it more efficient. So we have a lot of hybrid solutions in which you train the model with a quantum computer, and then you run it in the HPC, in the high-performance computer, and that's improving the training of the algorithm.
Incredible stuff. Looking ahead 5 to 10 years, how do you expect the role of data, algorithms, and human talent to evolve in a world where quantum and AI capabilities start to converge?
So I think, if we think about human talent, I think it's becoming a bit more complicated in the sense that when we think about AI, the profile of person you have is someone who's a data scientist, someone that mathematician, and then you think about quantum computers, and it's mostly physicists that are working to build the quantum computer, to develop the quantum algorithm. But now those profiles are converging. So if you are working in quantum computing and you're using AI, you need to learn how to use AI. So you need to get a new skill set, right? Because if there's a lot of usage of AI, like I said, for error correction, but that means you need to master AI. And that's not a skill that you usually have if you're working in physics. So that is on top of knowing physics, you need to learn AI. So that's from the skill set. So you have to have new skill sets. From terms of data, quantum can help to sample data. So one of the problems we have is training the algorithms, having enough data, but you can actually simulate the data with a quantum algorithm. You can sample the data better with quantum, because quantum, one of the applications of quantum algorithms is precisely the sampling. So it can help with the training, not only doing the training better, like I mentioned earlier, but actually providing the data.
Thank you for visiting the UBS Research Pod Hub. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please tune in again and share this episode with a friend or colleague.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries and or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation, nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content and has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction, where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept liability over any such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. Copyright UBS 2026. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.